Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Gibb, and I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm really excited to be moderating today's webinar on why you should be boosting your technology compliance spending. For years, the best strategy in improving collection rates was to hire more people, but that is not necessarily the best strategy anymore. In this webinar, we've got a panel of leading executives from the credit collection industry with us to share their insights on why technology and compliance spending are levers that are more likely to help agencies instead of hiring more employees. This webinar is being generously sponsored by MicroBuilt. You'll get the chance to hear more about them a little later in our program. I want to take a quick minute, and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts awesome webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and it's a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope everyone will spend some time every day checking out what it's got to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Gordon Beck is the president, COO, and minority shareholder of Valor Intelligent Processing, a new organization in the ARM industry specializing in BPO and third-party collections. Gordon, who has more than 20 years of experience in the industry, is known as a motivator, educator, and great public speaker. His trademark in the industry is not only the ability to bring in multi-million dollar contracts, but to operate and strategize those portfolios to be best-in-class results for those clients. Gordon's treatment of his employees, the amazing culture and atmosphere he provides them, and never straying away from the family mentality is what he will tell you is the secret of his success. LaDonna Bowling is the Chief Compliance Officer at Contract Callers in Augusta, Georgia. She has decades of experience in first and third party collections, focusing on utilities, telecom, and medical debt. She's very active with the Georgia Collectors Association, a member of Inside ARM's Compliance Professionals Forum, and is a certified instructor for ACA International. She also holds the Credit and Collection Compliance Officer designation, as well as the International Fellowship of Certified Collection Executives designation. LaDonna was also named ACA International Certified Instructor of the Year at the association's convention last month in San Diego. Congratulations, LaDonna.
Thanks.
Stephen Fernstall is the president of Stoneley Recovery Associates, a debt recovery solutions company. Stephen is responsible for the strategic initiatives, operations, and executive management at the company. He's been actively involved in the credit collection industry for the past 27 years. Stoneley Recovery Associates is a mid-sized first and third-party debt collection agency that has been serving the industry for 11 years. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them when the discussion has concluded, and maybe we'll take some while we're ongoing with our discussion as well. Submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available later today on the webinar recordings page of AccountsRecovery.net. Finally, I want to ask everyone to take a minute and fill out the feedback survey that should pop up on your screen when today's webinar is over. You'll also get a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. Sharing your feedback helps me develop content that's what you're looking for and find speakers, much like the ones we have today, who are the people you absolutely need to be hearing from. With that, let's start our discussion for today. So for years, collection agencies have used hiring more agents as a way to grow their business and improve recovery rates. But as fewer people answer the phone and more individuals are looking to alternative communications like email and texting, which do not require as much of a reliance on human resources, agencies may be able to get by with fewer agents. The industry has also not been known for being very quick to respond to new trends. So my question is, how can agencies be convinced that this is something they need to adopt sooner rather than later? And Stephen, since your face is up on my screen right now, we're going to give you the honor of speaking first today.
All right. Fantastic. So from my perspective, we started adopting technologies probably about 8 months ago, and they were really related to the increasing compliance costs that were going through our business. If you've been in this business for a while, over the last 13 years, what was a minor portion of the P&L has now become a very significant portion. And being able to use technologies effectively is probably what is the main focus of the industry right now. I think that the term consumer preference has been resonating around the industry. And really what we're seeing is since the smartphones came out and you have different apps and technologies, what we're seeing is a trend pushing more towards the technology in a non-touch environment. So, you know, in that respect, there are some additional costs that go into the business from a legal standpoint. But, you know, from my perspective, driving down the cost of the human capital, which is the largest portion of our P&L, I think it's imperative that we stave off some of the costs and remain relevant in the industry, because if you don't make some type of changes, you're not going to be, you know, at that benchmark that a lot of the creditors or customers that you have are looking for.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page with the fact that all these things are happening right before our eyes. You know, the cost per seat has increased, but we still have to increase the revenue per seat, so to speak. And I know Gordon and I were kind of joking earlier. He's a big people person, always promoting his people. And so am I. I've always been, you know, about the people and promoting our collectors and stuff. And I've been slow to embrace technology. You know, I still tout that, hey, we have a fax machine. Just kidding. But we can use those technologies to enhance what our people do and keep our costs down and our risk down from a compliance perspective. Isn't that what you were saying, Gordon?
I was, and if we look at things from a holistic view, we've been through many eras in this industry. We've been through the TCPA era, the CFPB era, the cybersecurity era, the litigious lawyer era, all of these eras the past decade and a half or even two decades has done nothing but drive our margins down, increase our liabilities, and put us in always a defensive mode. And I truly feel like we are now reaching an era of prosperity, an era where if you're in this business, you've made it, you've gone through the storm. And now that storm is settling, we're in a position to take advantage of everything that we've learned. The problem is, even though we're set up the way that we've had to become set up, compliance, et cetera, with our clients, with our certifications, our PCIs, our SOCs, everything we've done, now we have to look at what can we do from what we've learned to back down on whether it's overhead, whether it's policies, procedures, what can we back down now? Because the only thing that has changed from 15 years ago to now is that we have become more bulletproof, and we've lost a lot of money, a lot of margin. So to answer the question specifically on how can we motivate or get people interested on not being slow to get with the technology, and I would have been the last on that list, because I genuinely believe that a great collector can collect from anyone. But getting that call to that collector is not as easy as it used to be. Without technology, many caller IDs for people that are on this phone right now are ringing spam likely as we speak. So that's one area. Many people have built huge compliance departments, huge quality departments, and it's become a facade. It's the eye test for the clients. So there's a lot of things that we can use technology, but if technology costs the same as the overhead, well, then I'm going to go with people all day. So the only way I think that we can really take advantage of this is to work together to keep those costs down. Hardline negotiations, banding together, looser NDAs, and being able to say to the compliance companies, we want to use you, we want to take you into the future, and we want to make money, but we don't want to trade one out for one on an equal basis. It has to make financial sense.
Yeah, but Gordon, don't you think that a lot of our peers out here and probably some of the people listening today feel like as an industry, we always have a target on our back, regardless of what venture or way we go into, that, you know, everything we do, of course, is under a microscope?
You know what? I do. And my response to that is the same as it was 10 years ago. And that is, we have to keep changing the image of our industry one call at a time. If we all are expecting world-class behavior from our agents on every call, I can tell you that the education to the consumer is far greater than it's ever been. And although we still have that stereotype that we've drug on our back since 1978, I do believe there's a lot more consumers that have had great experiences with collections where we've given them the time that they've needed. We've been sympathetic and empathetic. We made it, saved them money on a settlement. You may have kept it off their credit. And it is, so many things happen with so many of the unlicensed in the basement on CNN in 2020 type agencies that, you know, the CFPB has rid a lot of them. We have whistle blew on a lot of them, because for every 20 great calls, it only takes one bad call that gets publicity to ruin the 20 that we made progress on. But if we just keep going together, making literally one call at a time, and we all, you know, speak of it at every chance, around every corner, there's 6,600 agencies in America. We can make a difference. And
right.
And if we don't stand by and watch the agencies that are, we know are doing it wrong, and do not speak up, you know, time just takes time. But I welcome that underdog type stereotype. And that's one of the reasons I love the industry, is because I know the people of this industry are great. And I know the agents of this industry that work for those great people are also great. And there's $4 trillion in debt, more than any of all time. So there's going to be a lot more calls and a lot more communications and a lot more opportunities for us to prove to the world that we do so much more good than bad.
Now, Steve, well, can I call you Steve?
Yes.
Okay, you touched on it earlier about consumer preference, and I think that the regulators are finally seeing that consumers want other, you know, avenues to be contacted. And I had read that 74% of all American adults use the internet. So what do you think we can do with the internet to get us into advanced technology?
What do I think I could do with the internet? Well, it,
I invented it, right?
Yeah, the fact of the matter is we're dealing with a negative situation right from the bat. We're dealing with the back end of a situation that is not pleasant for anyone. They're in a habit of now just kind of looking past paying their debts. And, you know, one of the psychological aspects that I find in this business is that people generally feel better about themselves when they start paying their debts. So I believe that we do create some goodwill for the general population of humanity. As for the internet, you know, it's going to continue being a trend where, you know, cybersecurity is going to, as we see all these hacks occurring, you're going to have these situations where people are going to start distrusting the internet a bit, and making sure that we can provide the type of security that is going to be required for the future. I think that's the biggest problem that I envision occurring in this marketplace. We deal with sensitive information. So, you know, when you talk about the internet, it's I don't know exactly. There's a lot of different methods. We're stuck to making sure that we can validate a person's identity. And let's face it. So there's 66 agencies in the nation, and you don't necessarily know as a consumer where your debt is. So how do you locate it? And there's no main repository of saying, okay, yeah, my debt is with that company. So you do have to make outbound efforts. So it's never going to be a situation where we're just in this electronic world. The issue that I see is how do we, you know, go about making sure we comply with all of these regulations and still drive a person to that electronic format to get them engaged. And that's going to be the key to the future. And I think it's going to be more along the lines of applications on the phone or a mobile device than probably any other method.
Right. Because, you know, even the Federal Trade Commission is telling consumers, you know, be wary of people calling you wanting your information. So, you know, for decades, our industry, we know we've been smile and dial all day and letters, smile and dial. But now that RPCs are going down because people are guarded, they're spam, you know, we got to find a way to get past this and
blacklisting.
Get other communications. Yes. And other communication channels open. You know, I would much rather, you know, get on a website and negotiate something than talk with a person and hear people go through all the right party identification. Like even when I call my creditors, you know, for whatever, you know, it's like they go through everything every time and it drives me insane. I'm like, yeah, I'm still a single Donna Bolo. No, I hadn't moved, but here's what I need. You know, it's such a long, drawn out process where if I can get on the internet and go, okay, this is what I want to do, and you give me all these options, you know, I can do that while, you know, I'm on an accountsrecovery.net webinar.
So you tapped on LaDonna, you tapped on a very important subject to me, which is the FTC, which has clear guidelines and how they stand on, you know, providing information to people who are calling you. And, you know, as humans, we're conditioned to do things. And one of the problems I had with what was being forced over the last few years to really validate, are we speaking to the correct person? It conditions the consumer to provide information prior to speaking with us that a person with maybe some different intention could take advantage of. I think it's an unintended consequence.
Right. So I think that's where the new technology comes in, you know, and Gordon is somebody that I look at as, you know, a leader with technology. He kind of forged through when the rest of us, you know, I can't speak for you, but I'm looking back going, hey, I got a fax machine. I'm cool. I got a dialer. I'm cool. And, you know, he's, you know, getting out and trying all these things. So panel poll. What do y'all think is the most important piece of technology that an agency could use to enhance recoveries? Gordon?
Right now, and this is not my permanent answer. I think I have two answers. But right this minute, having the capability for your dialing system to recognize the minute your phone or your direct and dial number, your caller ID, is on the spam likely. So right now, in my new business, I'm fortunate enough to own my own dialer. And so we are able to program it to do anything we want. And we are able to identify which carriers immediately, the minute that they go on the spam likely. And it's normally about 2 hours into the day. And right then and there, we're able to switch the caller ID and continue to dial on. I had to learn the hard way my first few weeks and wondering why no right party contact. Well, it's quite simple. If you're showing up as spam likely, you're not talking to anybody. And so if I were to tell anybody right now what is a vital technology, is to literally get with your dialing provider and find a way to make sure your caller IDs are being flipped up the minute that you're hitting spam likely. The second and more, and that's just kind of a hopefully that things will change and that issue will be addressed and fixed. But if that was not going on, I would say automated attendance. Some people like to use the word AI. I was in the habit of using that word, but let's just face it. There's no such thing as artificial intelligence in collections and recovery. It's machine learning is what it is. And they're not one and the same. But right now, 30% of our agents' day are spent removing wrong numbers, handling decease, bankruptcy, fraud, dispute, all non-revenue generating types of accounts. Can you imagine an automated attendant that you script, that is 100% compliant, that can do all of the verifications for you, that literally is able to handle all of those types of calls, and then all of a sudden, your agent's productivity on real dollar money type accounts, talking about the bill, goes from 70% of their day to 100%. Every one of us on this webinar would increase our bottom line by at least 20%. And those types of technologies are out there right now, and they do take time. I spent probably over a year in collaboration with another agency scripting for this scenario, but you have to start somewhere. And a lot of them now have it out of the box, so you can do your tweaks as you would like to for your specific agency and your preferences. But I think having an virtual attendant to handle those types of calls right off the bat and leave your agents on the revenue generating calls is probably, in my opinion, the most important technology out there to increase revenue and not have to overstaff to be number one.
And that was my favorite thing too, to pick, because it's going to take the risk away from our agents, you know, going, well, why do you dispute this, Mr. Gibb? You know, maybe overstepping, overshadowing, but yeah, machine learning, I like that technology and that sound of that word, machine learning, the rise of the machines. So, Steve, and
Donna, I'd like to add to that. I would like to tell you one more thing, if I could interrupt for 1 second. The beautiful thing about this, and I tried this with letters as well, because I always try again. It's like about the people. It's the human side of things. But to program my virtual attendants to have a personality. When someone may realize, even though the technology is really good and it might sound almost human, a lot of people know it's not, and they, you know, give me an agent, give me a live person. When they hear that, to say something like, "I'm smarter than you think. If you give me a chance, will you allow me the opportunity to help you?" And when it doesn't expect to have a response like that, that's when it becomes new age, creative, and futuristic. Something like putting a statement in your letters that at VIP, we want to help you resolve your account. Please give us a call today. Something personable, adding personality and a personal touch to every form of communication where we're afraid to be so scripted. We don't have to do that anymore. We can have a personality. We can sound helpful. We can be personable. And that's the beauty of the technology out there, is that you can do whatever you want. And I would just encourage people not to be afraid to go a little bit out there and do something a little crazy.
And you're right. They do. Some of them are so sophisticated, they sound like they're a person. And I'll just tell them myself, it sounded like I was talking to a really hot guy. And so I was trying to give him my best lines from the 70s. Hey, what's your sign? And then I realized that he wasn't really a human when he didn't understand what I meant. You know, Capricorns don't go well with Aquariuses. So I'm like, okay, I know. But
that's what got me hooked the first time I heard the demo. Yeah. And the demo was, I mean, I know this doesn't happen on every call, but the lady that had called in on the demo literally went through the entire call, absolutely no clue that it was not a human. And so the technology has improved there drastically from 10 years ago when we were all so excited about the text-to-speech that we all finally had. When it was so obvious that it was not human, now you have to really bend your ear to really kind of tell, and that's what makes it so attractive.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I just want to interrupt for 2 seconds. To give our panelists a quick break, because let's get a quick drink of water. They've been doing awesome.
be to remind everybody, if you have a question for our panel, type it into the Q&A button or the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. And finally, and more importantly, to remind everybody that this webinar is being sponsored by Microbuilt. For more than 35 years, Microbuilt has been helping businesses assess and manage risk. They were a pioneer in the now exploding alternative credit data space, and as such have refined their products and services to deliver true business value. Over the years, Microbuilt has invested heavily in building best-in-class data. They've built sophisticated systems for keeping their data fresh and accurate, and powerful predictive models for making decisions around lending, leasing, collections, and risk management. With Microbuilt, you can customize the products you need and how much you want to spend, and all their products are provided through a simple, single access portal. Whether you're working in originations or collections, screening a potential hire or tenant, planning for growth, or keeping up with regulatory requirements, Microbuilt can be your partner, providing the insight and information you need to protect your business, grow your bottom line, and keep your company running smoothly. For more information, please contact Microbuilt today at 800-884-4747 or visit www.microbuilt, and that's spelled M-I-C-R-O-B-I-L-T, microbuilt.com. Thanks again to Microbuilt for sponsoring today's webinar. With that, let's get back to our discussion. We do have one question that's come in so far. I'd like to ask it, although it might be a little vague and may need some follow-up from the person who did submit it. The question is, you mentioned there are systems out there. Which ones? I'm not sure which systems he's referring
to. Am I at liberty to say the names?
Yeah, I guess, sure. If you think you need to, that's fine.
If one of them is
okay, because I can also do that offline. Yeah.
If they all rhyme with...
Yeah, but
if they all rhyme with...
I don't want to upset a sponsor, for sure.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can definitely follow up offline with that. That's fine. Thank you for your sensitivity, Gordon.
Yes, he's such a
Yeah, Mike, if anybody wants to know about any of the products that we're talking today, I'm sure that they're welcome to reach out to the other panelists, but I can tell you they're more than welcome to reach out to me anytime.
They can just send me an email and I'd be happy to forward that along to Gordon and Gordon get back to him. So here's an interesting question, and I'm sure the answer is going to be it depends. But what is the optimal number of agents an agency should have today? And maybe if you can't give a specific answer, because it does depend on the size of the agency, the type of the debt and all that stuff, maybe some idea into the thought process that someone can use to go about how to figure out how many agents they should be employing today.
Steven, so what you're really talking about is workload balancing.
Sure. If you want,
depends on the
more sophisticated term. Okay.
Yeah. So the margins that you're looking for, the competition that is involved in the creditor or client that you have, the technologies that you use. Those are all, and the data that you're gathering and the business intelligence practices from a analytics standpoint, and quite frankly, how well you you train collectors to communicate is all going to be variables that go into determining what that ACR, right, the account to collector ratio, is going to look like. And that'll determine how many agents that you need and what your overhead costs are. So it's going to be different for every company, but there's a lot of variables that go into it. One of the things that I think LaDonna and what she mentioned was the reduction in call rates, right, for the contact. I believe it was LaDonna that mentioned this. But what we're seeing is a downward trend over the past few years. And Gordon had mentioned the identifying the blacklist when you are tagged from a number. So you start seeing your contact rate drops, and you have to be cognizant of that, because that is all going to impact your overall spend and the revenue that's generated off of it. So it's a variable that is constantly changing, and what your countermeasures for dealing with those situations are is going to greatly determine what your staffing requirements look like.
Yeah, evaluate your own data. You know, what our shop does and what your shop and his shop do could be entirely different things. Evaluate what you have, and then you can get a good figure on how many collectors you need for accounts. You know, are you still pounding plastic? Then you need a lot of collectors to get through your portfolios.
That's a good point, LaDonna. I mean, that is obviously going to be probably the number one thing is the type of debt. A working high volume, low balance telecom, you could have 5,000 accounts to every agent with no problem. But if that was card efficiency loans that require a little bit more digging, a little bit more of a agent at their own pace outside of the dialer arena type environment, that's going to be different. But if you want to look at two different variables to determine, you know, how many agents you want to put on a portfolio, you got to look at A, what is important to you? Is your profitability most important? Is your margin most important? If so, then set your margin, set that percentage, and at that point, figure out how many collectors you need to collect to stay in the game on the scorecard, but to reach that margin and adjust it. You're not going to get it right the first 3 months. The other way is to look at, is it more important for you to be number one? And then at that point, obviously, yeah, that's a whole new ball game. So there's so many ways that question could be answered, but I think LaDonna and Steve said both a statement. It really is 100% dependent upon an agency, their type of debt, their data, and what their ultimate objective and goal is. And all of us want to make money, but to build agencies, sometimes you have to sacrifice the bottom dollar to be number one so you can grow in volume and solidify your partnerships. So that question can be answered a thousand ways, and I don't think there's any one perfectly right answer to it.
Yeah, I think this is a good segue into staffing, because all of us, regardless of our size, I think we're all facing the same thing now, and that's finding qualified candidates to fill our seats. And recruiting is expensive, you know, agent churn is expensive, and there are some machine learning things out there to help you with your recruiting and can go through resumes and testings and such that can save you some money up front when you're onboarding your staff. I just wanted to kind of tie that in at this point. And I must be number one at all times.
There you go. I thought that one what I was saying, but
yeah, you know, I'll trip up a person with a bum leg to win.
You know, I mentioned this to each of our panelists before, but I had a conversation yesterday with an agency owner about, you know, sort of looking at the future. And, you know, the question, you know, we discussed, that was our sort of our topic of the conversation, is there a future where collection agencies employ no collectors? And much to my friend's disappointment, not disappointment, but he couldn't come up with a solution or an answer or a future where there wasn't collectors. And I think all of our panelists today would agree with that. So as much as technology is becoming more important to an agency's success or failure, collection agents themselves are still going to be maybe the ultimate arbiter, the ultimate determinant of whether an agency is successful or not. Is that something that each of you would agree with?
Totally agree.
I think it goes back for me to consumer preference. I think there is always going to be a consumer preference to speak with a live human. I don't think that's going to change. And there's a comfort level that people have with speaking to a live person rather than a machine. And Gordon made some very thought-provoking comments when he introduced the thought of have the machine learning system respond, that it's something that they weren't expecting. But you're not going to change the mindset of someone who is really determined to talk to a human.
Right. And there's
that's correct. You have to have the capability for them to transition to a human. And my rule of thumb in the waterfall of the scripting was that the second time they ask, you got to push it to a human. Because I agree, you don't want to frustrate somebody that that, and I'm like that. I want to speak to a human myself. I'm that type. There are many types up there that would rather go onto a consumer-facing app or handle something with a chat bot on the internet, do a website. I think that finding a way to cater to all of those channels and have a great omni-channel type solution at the enterprise level to handle that so you don't miss out on any calls is the ultimate goal for all of us.
What about foreign language offerings? Because, we always have bilingual collectors, English and Spanish, but, we know that there's like 14 different dialects of Spanish, and sometimes we come up with communication barriers, and finding the people to fit these roles is hard, to put the people in the seats. There is some machine learning that can, assist with foreign language options for us, which, sometimes having that person that speaks, three languages is a bit much on your pocketbook, but if you have machine learning there that can do it for you, that's a big plus, depending on where your portfolios are and what the demographics are in the areas.
Some of the best products out there, LaDonna, can do every language, all dialects.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is that there are actual humans behind the scenes. And when the virtual agent gets tripped up, then it alerts the people at their desks that are literally seeing what has tripped it up, and they will tell it what to do so for the future it doesn't make the same mistake or it understands what's being said. And so the thought process is, after so many millions and millions of calls, that's the machine learning part, is that it gets better over time, and before you know it, there's nothing it can't handle.
Yeah, because I know you see that on RFPs. We see it on RFPs. How do you handle foreign languages? And, that's always a gray area because we do have a process for handling it, but it's not as robust as it should be, and it's not a good selling point, and it's not a good peace of mind, so to speak.
I'm curious, and this is a talking point I inserted at the last minute. I'm not sure if all the panelists saw it or not. I hope they did, but I'm sure they can sort of come up with something off the top of their heads. But I'm curious what the impact of the proposed debt collection rule from the CFPB, how much is that going to drive technology in compliance spending in the future? Is that something you see causing agencies to spend more or less in those areas?
Go ahead, LaDonna.
No, I was just going to say my answer is real brief. I think it's going to be more because it looks like the regulators are embracing the use of technology. That was my off-the-head answer. I'm sure
you're
more sophisticated.
Yeah, off the cuff. I personally work very intently with machine learning systems, as I sit on the advisory board for one of the new companies that launched early in the year. I see an initial surge for the compliance spend, but I also see it backing down. One of the key items that I took away from the proposed debt collection practices, piece of information that they put out was right at the very beginning, they address inconsistent court rulings, which I think is the biggest issue for collection agencies today, because it's a decision of, from a compliance standpoint, what we can do in certain jurisdictions and what we can't do. And what we're finding is sometimes it comes down to who the judge is that sits on different sides of a hall, and what their interpretation of a piece of legislation or a previous judge's ruling. We received some really great comments from a recent lawsuit that put down the unsophisticated ruling in favor of the defendant, who was a collection agency, because it would take a sophisticated attorney to interpret what they put in front of the court to challenge, you know, what harm has been done to the consumer. So, you know, we're seeing some really great things come out of the court with some common sense views, but from the proposed ruling, I personally think that you're going to see a surge from the business intelligence aspect of it and how we interpret these new laws. But hopefully what we're seeing out of here is we're going to have a defined set of rules. Now, this piece is just a piece of it. It's how the states respond after this goes into effect, which is my bigger concern. And are we going to have to manage to 50 different, you know, mini CFPBs in each state on how we address, you know, their specific view of regulation?
And I might as well chime in last here. I think that the question can be a little loaded because what might cost more in one area for compliance could end up generating more revenue in another area that offsets it or even overcomes it. For example, you know, the use of text messaging, opt-in texts, conversational text, text with the NITB based on the opt-in for payment arrangements, things that we might not think of that we can remove and save some trees, because the letter expense for many agencies is either the second or third largest expense behind the FTE. So what we do with that type of channel of communication might cost us more than we're doing now, which is little to nothing. And it could cut a major cost on the other end. It could cut litigation costs by having, as Steve said, that defined set of rules that we can finally go by. But will that set of rules cost us money from recoveries because we can't penetrate the way that we used to be able to? If the CFPB sticks steadfast to the number of attempts per account rather than going to the number of attempts per phone number, that could be devastating. So it's all things to think about, but I think that the challenge would be to stay compliant and find out what areas that compliant can mix with the new capabilities in modernizing the communications can make us money, and finding that balance is going to be what kind of separates the average from the good and the good from the great.
Okay, good. So let's say there's somebody listening today to this webinar, and let's say they're using index cards and rotary dial phones and believing now that they have to shift their, you know, their priority toward more toward technology. What are the most important technology systems that you would recommend they go out and buy or set up first?
A phone system, if they're using rotary dial, yeah, would be a good step.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
What's next?
There's been advancements in, you know, collection platforms. I think that picking a good collection platform that has a lot of robust features to move accounts around with really, you know, a good workflow management and having that understanding of what you want to do, I think it is probably the most critical step to, you know, that next phase of a collection agency. I think most people have that already. And I think at this point, we're starting to look at, you know, what inefficiencies are in our systems. How do we identify them, and how do we either eliminate or mitigate to where it's not a concern or it's negligible. And so from my aspect, where I think technology is for a majority of the people in this industry is, you know, having that piece of technology to really locate where the holes are in our current systems and bringing that gap closer together so we can increase our margins.
Yeah, and talking about softwares, One of my biggest pain points historically was, you know, softwares that didn't have interfaces built with various vendors or weren't open to enhancing their software to embrace new vendors and new technologies and such. Sometimes, you know, an outdated software can hold you back from, you know, upgrading and embracing, you know, new technologies.
There's a lot of us that are spending money for speech analytics, interactional analytics, even emotional analytics, inventory management tools, compliance management systems. Well, there's a company out there right now, and I could share this offline with anyone, but they basically have a suite of platforms that holistically can guide you as a company through all these comprehensive compliance structures, speech and interaction analytics, inventory management. It does it all. It's a one-stop shop. And they also have a forward-facing app for consumers to take payments. They're basically trying to be that one-stop shop for all of your needs that we have spent all this money on. And again, if I don't know about everybody on the call, but if I can deal with one contract instead of seven, one account manager instead of two dozen, you know, and one forward-facing product that can show me all of my analytics as well as what's going on my telephones, all while housing and storing my policies, procedures, complaints, etc. It's almost like a compliance management system on steroids is what I call it. And I am just now going through the implementation with this organization, and they're not the only one, but they're the only one that I've seen that can do all of these things. It's quite amazing, and it is cheaper than the cost of just one compliance management system. It's quite incredible what they're doing. And again, I can share the name offline, but I didn't want this to be a sales pitch. But for those of you looking to save money and to cut back on all the expenses that you've put out there to get to the compliant state you're at, companies like this one are going to change the game for the ARM industry.
And I think I know who you're talking about. And this is one you time do. I get to one up Gordon Beck. I embraced them when they were a company that was only 3 years old and all they had was a standalone product. And as they've grown, I've just been so amazed by what they do and how easy they make my life and our operations people lives. Because I realize it's not all about me, but, you know, it is.
Why do I sit here feeling like the odd man out? Because I have no idea who you guys are talking about.
They are just now. LaDonna did business with them earlier, and I know one other agency that is working with them as well. I also know a gentleman that used to work with LaDonna that works there now. And so through these circles, I got to do a few months back,
yeah.
And I honestly could not believe what I was seeing. And it's going to change the game. I think LaDonna will agree because she's using it now and she sees what's coming. So, you know, and that is great for us because the one thing that I loved most about it, what is that it was cheaper than dirt. No kidding, cheaper than dirt.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll be the only one in the dark as to which company it is. Someone can fill me in offline. We got a question that came in about virtual assistants. I'm wondering, are these virtual assistants able to make calls as well, or do they only handle inbound traffic?
They can do both, but I don't think we're at the point where we want to start testing those waters. I think that the minute you start using that type of automation to make outbound calls is when your TCPA lawsuits will go through the roof, whether you're doing it right or wrong or indifferent. An automated voice, even if it's good and almost sounds human, I don't think it's worth the risk yet to implement it on an outgoing basis. And for those that do and fight and win that first battle, God bless them. But I'm not going to be the first to test that water.
You said test that water, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Test. Okay.
Test.
Sorry.
Okay.
And I think that's exactly where Mike started was, you know, we're slow to implement because there's so much risk involved with being the first man out. It's it's a difficult situation because, you know, you don't want to be the company that, you know, sets the next FODI requirement because you get hit by something that restricts the industry.
That's very true. Good point.
Yeah, we have to be cautious, but we can't live our lives in fear. And we have to keep on with the platform and the understanding that we're vital to a credit-based economy. What we do is important. The number of lives that we touch daily is important. What we bring to the table is important. And we'll mitigate risk as we go along, and we'll cover ourselves. I think you mentioned earlier, you know, we got our armor on. You know, we've been through some battles. You know, we're coming out stronger.
I'm curious, are there parts of a collector's job or other jobs within a collection agency that each of you wish could be more automated? Like, if you could automate one or two processes or one or two jobs, what would you choose at the top of your list right now?
The regular
credit bureau reporting.
Yeah, well, there are some softwares that help with the eOSCAR portion of credit reporting, which we kind of embraced that a while back. That's helped us with we went down 1.5 FTE when we brought that technology in. But machine learning takes away that absenteeism problem and being late because machines are going to be at work, you know, 99% of the time. They're breakdown is going to be minimal, and then if they do break down, you got a human being to back them up.
Credit bureau reporting, in my opinion, was never no different than the TCPA. It was never meant for the collection industry. We're professional debt collectors, and I am not afraid to voice this to my clients or to anyone, but it's not our debt. It's our clients' debt. And if the CFPB wants to do any favors to the consumers, they will force those clients that want to report to do it themselves. It's their debt. And if you want to talk about the least sophisticated consumer, well, can you blame? I mean, even the most sophisticated consumer could potentially have as many as 7 agencies on their credit bureau over the life of that collection. So, you know, I'm not sure how much of a voice we all have, but if we do have one at all, it needs to be that the people that decide that they want a credit bureau report take that accountability, that expense, and that responsibility, as well as the liability, on their shoulders and do right by their customers. Because it's wrong that agencies have to do it in the first place.
I think there's a chorus of yeah going around everybody who's listening right now. We've only got a couple minutes left, but before we wrap up, it seems to me that the conversation we've been having today kind of follows that that mantra of work smarter, not harder. So in continuing with that philosophy, how else can companies in the credit collection agency work smarter? You know, where else do you know, looking beyond sort of the, you know, what process within a collector, you know, within a collector's job can be automated, how can collection agencies or creditors that, you know, or companies that are doing first party collections become, you know, more efficient and work smarter instead of working harder?
Start with little steps, you know, assess your needs, look at where your money is going, you know, look at your bottom line, and again, take small steps into it. Maybe you want to automate some learning, you know, training, because training is a big part of our budget. You know, update your website, try some mobile apps. Those are some ways to get started and to start, you know, in small steps.
From a collector level, I'd say demand excellence at all times. If the consumer's not walking away from that call saying, I can't believe that was a collection agency, then in my opinion, the agent hasn't done their job. So expecting the best on the phones is to me, the best way to collect more money. But in terms of like technology and things of that nature, we're all data driven. We literally have the data to determine the best consumer to call at the best time in the best time zone on the best day of the week based on age. I mean, we have the all of us have that data. How do you mine that data and put it to use and to then use it to help your credit bureau providers, the ones that you're skipping with, improve their scoring mechanisms so you can pinpoint rather than pinpointing 80% of your dollars out of 10% of your accounts, maybe you're pinpointing 90 or 95% of your dollars out of 5% of your accounts before you even make a single phone call. So that's, to me, working smarter is knowing where your money is before that placement even comes back from your skip trace badge. And I think that, you know, just we all have the information, but how do we get it out, get it together, and get it to the right people, either internally or externally, to benefit, you know, our cause? That's the hard part.
I'm going to take it into a little bit of a different direction. Get out and talk to your peers. It's the best way to know what's going on and what's successful that they've implemented. You don't need to be the person that comes up with all of the ideas. Just, you know, I would say that a person that is curious and, you know, starts questioning, are there other things, and reaching out and having a good network that surrounds them is probably the best way to understand what you can do to implement some of those items.
I think that was well said. You know, like I say, I follow behind Gordon because, you know, he's usually leading something with technology. I go, well, what did Gordon do? Let's see what he's doing.
Steve probably had the best answer of the entire day, in my opinion. I know we might all compete for the same business for, you know, that agency of the year or that next client. But the truth is that we're really in this together, all of us. And if we're not transparent, willing to share what's working, then there's no way we'll ever get past that stereotype. And I can tell you that in the years of the collaborations that have been done, the ACA and what they've done, the clients individually and their advisory boards, bringing agencies together to talk about best practices. And then, like Steve said, go reach out to your peers and the people you know, get introduced to new people. But if we're all singing out of the same songbook, not only will we be unstoppable, but we'll also, again, continue to change the image of our business, you know, one step at a time.
Well said. Well said. We've just about run out of time, but I'd like to give our panelists one more chance to share any parting words of wisdom, any takeaways, any ideas they wanted to mention but didn't get a chance to, just because of the way the direction the discussion went. But just to sort of offer a chance for each of them to summarize their thoughts before we wrap up for today. So, Gordon, would you mind going first?
I wouldn't mind at all. I think that we covered a lot more than I anticipated, and I appreciate the invite to be a part of it. At the end of the day, you know, I don't think anybody that's on this webinar today, on this panel, Mike, you and your organization, we're in this because I think we love the business. I can't imagine anyone staying in this business that doesn't love it. Let's make it unstoppable. Let's make it unbelievable. And let's look past on everything we've learned and what we've built to get to this point and not be afraid of technology and to take the next step and to take advantage of what I am basically self-proclaiming as the collection agency era of prosperity that we're in right now. That's about all I got.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Steve?
Well, I did want to address one question that was not brought up, and it was the collecting was thought to be more of an art than science. I've never viewed it as an art or a science. I always viewed it as a habit, and when you install the successful habits into people, you can become successful at doing this business. Just know what you want to be as an agency is, I think, the key to being successful, because what we find too often is we try and mimic what other people are doing, and we figure out that, you know, we're always chasing the other guy rather than trying to be the best version of ourselves. And that's what I try and do with our agency is we try to be somebody that is unique, and what we do is effective. So, really get an idea of what you want to be and pursue that.
Well said. Thank you very much. LaDonna, you're up.
Okay, I just wanted to say, and we've probably already all said this, you know, human interaction preferences are ever evolving, and our strategies for communicating have to be ever evolving. And that's where, you know, technology comes in, and we can create a dynamic. And understanding the dynamics of the consumer, the generation that's out there in the consumer database, the ones that owe, we have to start catering to them and how they want to be communicated with. And that's when we start embracing technologies as well as developing our staff.
Excellent. Well said. Well, panel, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. Really appreciate you sharing your perspectives with us. This was a really interesting conversation. And I know, speaking selfishly for myself, I learned a bunch and have a ton of notes that I'm looking forward to reviewing after this call is over. So thank you very much. Also want to thank MicroBuilt one more time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.microbuilt.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated, listened, asked questions. One final reminder to please take a minute and fill out the feedback survey to help identify topics and speakers that would be of the best use to you. And I hope everyone turns to account or stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. And anyone who wants to access a recording of this event can do so through accountsrecovery.net's webinar recordings page later today. Panel, awesome job. Thank you so much.
It was fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye.